Does he take your pictures?
Is your husband involved?
What does he even do?
Welcome to the Instagram Husband Podcast.
Welcome back to the Influencer Husband Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Joseph Ramirez, or at Influencer Husband on Instagram. My wife is at Danny Austin on the internet. Come on over to Instagram and follow both of us for a behind-the-scenes look into the influencer world. We try and be as real and transparent as possible, but we also just have a lot of fun living life alongside our audience. This is the Influencer Husband Podcast, where we come together to talk about all things influencer, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We talk about the industry at large, we talk about what it means to have influence, we talk about the impact influencers have on culture, both pop culture and internet culture. We share tips and tricks on how to be a better content creator and a content consumer. We discuss how this industry affects everyone from a chief marketing officer of a Fortune 500 company to just a husband having to juggle marriage with his wife's influencer career. And by speaking with empathy, we really try and make a better internet on all sides of the coin. So, disclaimer, as always, that the word husband in the influencer husband equation is usually used. I ride the satire of the slang, but I believe an influencer husband can be a dad, mom, brother, sister, friend, or photographer. The influencer husband is the behind-the-scenes operator supporting every influencer out there because it truly does take a village to make this work, but I do not want it to be seen as an influencer not being able to be successful just because they're not married. That's not the point of this brand. So, as always, I do like to say that this podcast is an open conversation where I do love your feedback too. So if you have an idea for an episode or just generally like the show, then do me a favor. Open up iTunes on your Apple Podcast app, navigate to the Influencer Husband Podcast, leave a rating and a comment with all of your ideas, feedback, improvements, etc. I do read every single comment and suggestion out there, so definitely appreciate you taking the time to do it. So this week's episode is an extension and exploration of a point that I had made in a previous episode, actually titled Study More Millennials Becoming Influencer Husbands, parentheses, full time. The episode that I originally had recorded was about when and why you should consider becoming an influencer husband full time. In that episode, I do provide several frameworks to think through the timing, the financial models, and the expectations for that transition. But one of the bigger points that I break down and make is the difference between a full-time influencer husband and a part-time photographer. So in that episode, my argument is that if you're going to quit your job or have your boyfriend, mom, dad, or friend quit their full-time job, then I always say that I believe it's necessary for them to be a part of that story. I think that it makes the most economic sense, and I think that it lets the audience into kind of a whole dynamic of seeing you and your team as an influencer. But I'm a proponent that influencer husbands are most valuable if they include themselves in the content and kind of reframe their perspectives away from just being photographers or videographers for their influencers. The producer, manager, character, accountant, backend, business operator, servant is really what it means these days to be an influencer husband in my mind, but the truth be told is that I think being a part of that content or a character in that content was probably the hardest thing for me to do. So, you know, I remember I would watch as Danny picked up her camera in selfie mode and talked to hundreds of thousands of people on a regular basis through Instagram stories. And I remember just trying to mimic that and feeling just completely lost. It's almost like I would come home and tell her a story about how my day went with complete confidence. And then, you know, she would be like, "That's crazy. Will you tell my audience on stories?" And I would lose every single word that I had to say. And so, you know, when I first started as an influencer husband, especially before I was full-time, I even had all these problems with pictures, both taking and being present in them. I remember there was kind of this campaign that we did for The Bachelor, actually, about 2 years ago. And I think I had to dress up in a robe and I had a rose in my mouth. And, you know, all my friends in real life gave me so much crap about it. And, you know, then out in public, when I would have to be taking pictures of Danny, I had this kind of insecure feeling when people would walk by, like it said something about my masculinity that I wasn't having a bad attitude, you know, towards taking her pictures and being excited about it with her. But I do think that this is a big problem. I think the whole experience as an influencer husband of being in the content and really owning the production of the content was very challenging to me personally, and my ego and my cultural perception of my own masculinity and honestly my own growth. So, you know, while I argued in my latest episode or my last episode that a full-time influencer husband is most valuable if they are a part of the content, I think what I did in that episode is I brushed over some of the hurdles that I actually faced in becoming more secure and comfortable actually creating that content with her. And so while this is my personal testimony, and you know, it may not necessarily be strong enough to be a stereotype that men or influencer husbands don't like to be in the content and create content, I think I have been around enough influencer husbands and boyfriends and friends, et cetera, to know that there really is something difficult about, you know, going from a content producer or just a regular husband to being a part of the content and creating content for yourself as well. And so this week, I really wanted to set out to research, identify, and hopefully help all the other influencer husbands and, quite frankly, the influencers out there overcome the stage fright, which maybe is more fair to call it insecurity or cultural conditioning that every influencer husband feels when they're creating content. So that's what this week's episode is about, is overcoming creative inertia, as I'll end up calling it, which is just this idea of, I don't want to create content. I feel awkward on Instagram stories. Like, I feel weird when the camera's on, all of those kind of things. In particular, I'm speaking to influencer husbands, but I do think that this episode, you know, although it sounds pretty niche, I think that if you are a content creator or influencer yourself, I think that if you keep listening, then you'll probably start to realize that this episode could actually probably help you too to overcome some of the inertia you feel in creating content for yourself. So that's what this week's episode is about. I'm really excited, and let's just jump right in. So Danny and I recently have had the pleasure of getting to know the Roloffs a bit. So Jeremy and Audrey in particular, if you're familiar with the family, but Jeremy and his family were stars of one of the longest running successful TV shows called Little People, Big World. And, you know, Jeremy kind of grew up on television. Most of it was pre-social media, but today he still has about 792,000 followers on Instagram. His new wife, I say new loosely, they've been married a couple years, I believe, but his new wife, not growing up on television and with less exposure to the spotlight, has about 1.1 million followers on Instagram. And so, you know, I remember Jeremy being one of the first people I really opened up to about the insecurities that I personally felt on being an influencer husband and being a part of the content and feeling uncomfortable creating content. You know, I remember Jeremy said something to me that I'll probably never forget. He said, "Dude, I totally get it. It's weird, you know, it's unconventional." But he said, "Always remember that the internet is female, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be a part of it too." So unpacking more about what he was trying to say there, you know, and especially in the internet is female, is he was talking about the navigation his audience had to Audrey. You know, he had grown up on TV, but you know, on Instagram and all these social media platforms, there was a natural curvature and a natural navigation for his audience to want to latch onto Audrey. And, you know, he said that sometimes he felt as though, even though he had been on TV for years, the relatability and interest in Audrey, particularly on social media, you can even see it in the difference of the number of followers that they had, was pretty telling. But you know, as a pro influencer husband, what he was really saying is, he said, "Hey dude, there aren't a lot of guys creating content and out there, and people are really going to be way more interested in your wife, but that doesn't mean that you aren't part of the story as well." And you know, that day I remember Jeremy gave me, he probably doesn't even remember he said all of this, but you know, Jeremy kind of gave me so much wisdom on that day on what it looked like to support Danny both in her career and also as her husband and in our marriage as well. And You know, one day I'll maybe have him onto the podcast because of his knowledge just of navigating real life marriage and the entertainment spotlight. But for now, you know, I want to focus on that this one point that he said, that there aren't a lot of husbands on the internet creating content. And it turns out he was right. I mean, you know, according to MarketingLand, 77% of influencers out there are women, and women make up 88% of the total number of influencers actually posting branded content right now. So in my last episode, what I was proposing was, I basically said that to be the most valuable version of a full-time influencer husband is to be a part of the content, or a character in the story, or even, you know, if you will, a influencer in and of yourself. But I think that I'm also acknowledging that there is even less of a blueprint for husbands or men out there to create content than there are our female wives or influencers. So a couple episodes back, I did reference, and I was joking, but I referenced how anyone could become a female fashion microblogger these days. I think I said something along the lines of, you follow 10 fashion bloggers' stories with over 100K followers, you go to Nordstrom or a boutique and you put together some outfits, you post consistently for 30 days against walls or in shadows, you write some cute captions, and you know, you'll probably start to see some level of growth and brands to start to recognize you, especially if you start pitching yourself, right? And that was my blueprint of becoming a micro fashion blogger. Obviously, in the context, I was being totally sarcastic, but I was acknowledging that there is a blueprint out there for female influencers. And I believe that male influencer husbands, or just male influencers in general, or content creators, don't really have that. You know, we have a lot of our wives or girlfriends or people saying, I wish you would post more. Why can't you be funny on stories? I know these are things that Danny says to me all the time, or used to say to me all the time, but, or will you be active on your Instagram, from, you know, other influencers out there to their male counterparts. But it's way harder. There's not a whole lot of precedent out there for us to follow. And this sentiment was actually echoed by Emma Gray Ellis in her report published to Wired about the gender gap in the creator space. And let me read to you this excerpt from the article. She said, really, the only way to guarantee that people will think of your online celebrity as influence is to be a woman. Many men of the internet will fracture their own vertebrae to avoid being called influencers, even when their work, building a brand, getting hashtag sponsored, promoting products and themselves, fits the definition. They prefer terms like digital content creator or content producer, or industry specific terms like gamer. Usually they think of themselves as artists or members of the entertainment industry. She goes on to say one more poignant statement. She said, but it might point to the actual difference between men and women's contributions to the internet, not their value or their subject matter, but how the creators think about themselves. So, you know, when we're diagnosing why it's harder for influencer husbands out there, or to create content, or, you know, why there's a more of a lack of precedent out there when it comes to influencer husbands. So let's call theory number one in our attempt to understand why that is. Let's just chalk it up to the reality that there's not really a blueprint out there on what to create as an influencer husband or a male influencer out there, and what it should look like when we're predominantly addressing our wives' audiences. You know, I don't think that there's any influencer husband out there that I can think of that has, you know, predominantly male audience. You know, it is our wives' or girlfriends' audience when you're talking about the literal influencer husbands out there. But the only other blueprints available of male-run accounts that I just naturally think of, I know that there are more, but the first that come to mind are things like Barstool Sports, The Fat Jewish, meme accounts, David Dobrik, and, you know, a lot of other, I would call this a category, amazing content creators that fall more in line with like cinematographers or videographers. So they're creating high class, epic photography, cinematography content, which would actually support the Wired article's point of how they view themselves on the internet. But you know, what if there's a second theory to why it's hard to get your influencer husband involved in the content or to post himself? You know, what I started to ask is there any research out there that supports the fact that males just legitimately don't like taking pictures or being in pictures? In 2014, there was this viral video that circulated on YouTube called Why Men Hate Being in Pictures. And this video seemed to think so. It was one of those Jerry Seinfeld comedies where it's funny because it's true. And I'm actually just going to roll a clip from that video here.
Guys are a diagram. When you look at a photo of a girl, you're like, oh, she's beautiful. That's great. When you look at a picture of a guy, you're like, yeah, it seems about right. And then the head and the legs, what do you want me to say? I mean, eventually, as you get older, it does seem like people catch on, stop photographing men as much. It's usually just a shot of a dad sitting by himself, eating cereal at the kitchen table at night. And it's not even that it's a great picture, it's more just for record-keeping purposes.
So while this video serves up a very comedic, self-aware theory on why men hate being in photos, Vice actually followed up with a report on September 20th of last year titled What It Means If You Hate Having Your Picture Taken. And this article offered a much more serious theory tied to the self-criticism that both men and women feel in being a part of creating content. The article, again, is much more serious in nature, but it talks about the challenges in taking photos or creating content, such as disliking your appearance, the insecurity of comparing yourself to the impossible standards seen in popular media, feeling awkward about poses. This article is a much more realistic assumption that the inertia both men and women feel in taking or creating content is best kind of diagnosed by self-criticism or insecurity felt within, right? In fact, the article ends by stating, perhaps your camera phobia is not the real crux of the problem, but a mere symptom of your criticism and harsh self-judgment. If so, the deeper answer here could be for you to try to aspire to greater self-compassion, to begin treating yourself with as much compassion as you would a close friend. So while my inertia, to be honest with you, to create content didn't have to particularly do with any mental or physical self-judgment, I also think it's not a bad theory for other influencer husbands out there if they're being honest with themselves that they do struggle with that insecurity when it comes to creating content. You know, their wife hands them over the phone and she says, hey, go be funny on stories, or hey, like tell that joke on stories, or hey, why don't you tell my stories about your day? And men freeze up because they're just like, well, I feel awkward. I don't feel good enough to be on camera, you know, and they think that there's going to be a better time to do it or something like that. So there was an article actually published in Healthline recently, and what the article is talking about is it's actually supporting the point that, you know, men don't like to take, or influencer husbands don't like to take photos because of the way that they compare themselves in the media. They just don't feel good enough from a actual body positivity standpoint. So the article published said, the female body positivity movement is stronger than ever before. Brands like Dove and American Eagle have launched campaigns to help women learn to be appreciative of their bodies, regardless of how they compare to media standards. The movement's intent seems well-meaning, the article says, but it also raises a question, is there a body positive movement for men? While there's a plethora of evidence that women are judged more by their looks than men are, research shows that body image issues facing men are just as complex. The article then goes to talk about the rise of superhero films and the way that that creates a kind of one-size-fits-all for what the male body is supposed to look like. The media tells men that we should be lean, strong, and muscular, the article says, but the male body image struggle is about more than the shape of our bodies. Among other concerns, men are figuring out how to deal with hair loss, height perception, and skincare that makes putting those insecurities in front of thousands or millions on the internet very difficult. So a couple weeks back, when I made the argument that to be a full-time influencer husband was most valuable if you were a part of the content and the story too, I also want to just note that it's just not easy to just post more content consistently, right? That phrase, just post more, or be consistent. You know, those things are really hard when you start to think of the reasons that creating content is hard, you know, such as theories number one and number two, right? And so to explore some of these complexities of the psyche kind of holding you as an influencer or you as an influencer husband back, it just felt right in this episode to explore some of the complexities of the psyche holding us back, right? I didn't want to just leave the audience in this episode understanding the problem, you know, just simply not wanting to be on camera, having body or image issues as men, and then of course just there not being a lack of precedent. But I also really wanted both influencers and influencers' husbands to be able to overcome the issue of creators' inertia, because I still do believe in the economic case that I laid out that the best, most valuable way to be an influencer husband is to be a part of the content as well. So the first part of this podcast was about not oversimplifying the emotional and psychological side effects of being a creator. But the second part of this episode is about tactics that I wanted to lay out to overcome what we are going to call from here on out just simply creative inertia or creator's inertia. So the reason I call it that is, you know, the textbook definition of inertia is a property of matter by which it continues in its existing state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line unless that state is changed by an external force. So the more tailored version of creative or creator's inertia is the start that never comes because of you waiting on some external force or perfect moment to start creating. You know, it could be, well, I'm not going to become a creator until I'm buff, or I'm not going to become a creator until the moment's right and I just feel like it, or I'm going to wait until, you know, I'm married in order to do it. There's a thousand different reasons that we could hold back from just getting started creating, both as influencers and influencer husbands. And I think it's a misconception that creating this mood or feeling or wonderful sensation that you think will come is going to come. You know, creative inertia happens when you don't push through that reality that this feeling probably never will come unless you just start to create it. And so you could procrastinate for days or months or years. And I believe that, you know, creative inertia, you know, also has a lot of elements of fear in it. You know, it's a fear of failure. It's a fear of maybe you not looking good enough or being funny enough to be on, you know, in the content, you know, and although you have no way to understand or control how people are going to respond to your work, you can control the work itself, right? You can control whether you decide to put it out there or not. And so I'm sure some of you right now are experiencing this to some degree in this exact moment. Like, I should be posting on stories, but I don't feel like posting on stories. Maybe I'll feel like it at 5 o'clock. No, maybe I'll feel like it's 6 o'clock. Well, I'll just do it tomorrow. And then you repeat the cycle, and then months have gone by and your dream of being an influencer, blogger, or creator, you know, just never really came to fruition. But have no fear, because on the Influencer Husband Podcast, you know, what we're really going to try and do this week on the second part of this episode is help all of you wonderful potential creators get started and reach that full potential we all know you have, right? So let's jump right in it. Michael Kohler from the Lights Film School, he had a quote that I really liked when I was doing some research for this episode. And he said, "To realize our creative potential, we need to reframe our thinking. We can't control how other people respond to our work. All we can control is the work itself." So what I'm going to do is give you a 5-step path. You can think of it as a journey or a path, but I'm going to break it up into 5 different chapters or steps or positions, whatever you want to call it, with insights on how to create a new perspective, that perspective of a courageous and consistent content creator to overcome this creative inertia. So the first step of kind of this new mental model for creating is to realize that there's never a better time to get started creating than right now. So there's this quote by E.B. White that came to mind, and I looked it up and cross-referenced it, and it talks about kind of the timing of creativity coming, right? And he said that a writer who waits for ideal conditions under which to work will die without putting a word on paper. So, you know, sure, there are, I'm sure, ways to set the mood for creativity. You know, you can drink some coffee, you can play some classical music if that's your vibe. But ultimately, I'm a big believer that the action is going to actually dictate the mood and not the other way around. So, for example, in 1872, Charles Darwin actually stated that, quote, the free expression by outward signs of an emotion intensifies it. In today's age, the Scientific American actually echoed Darwin's sentiments in an article called Smile, It Could Make You Happier. A passage from the article states that, quote, no one yet knows why our facial expressions influence our emotions as they seem to. The associations in our mind between how we feel and how we react may be so strong that our expressions simply end up reinforcing our emotions. There may be no evolutionary reason for the connection. Even so, our faces do seem to communicate our states of mind, not only to others, but to ourselves. So I think that when it comes to creating, it's the same as smiling. You smile and your body says, oh my gosh, I'm emotionally a little bit happier, versus I'm happy, so therefore I smile. And I think that, again, creating is the same. Sometimes just starting to create sets the mood for creating more than the mood of creating is able to help you start creating, if that makes sense. You know, so for step number one, I think let's shirk off these assumptions that stars are going to align one day and you're going to be posting consistently on social media platforms telling your story. It's just not going to happen like that. You will more likely than not spend the better part of a couple months spiking your energy with caffeine and listening to Beethoven to try and find this vibe to create, only to realize that the inertia just requires for you to take action first. So, you know, get creating, get started. There's never going to be a perfect moment. That's, you know, point number one that I want to make in this journey. So the next step in kind of overcoming this creative inertia is knowing that the first step is always, always, always going to be the hardest. Always. I constantly tell other influencer husbands out there and creators that being present and creating content truly is like a muscle. I think I even mentioned in a previous episode of this podcast too, that if you show up consistently for 3 months to the gym, let's say, then you're going to be conditioned to grow, right? And you'll notice improvements in your performance at the gym, your muscle density, you know, your ability to run for longer distance. But if you take a month off, it's harder, you know, it starts to get harder, you know, you have trouble starting back up again, and it's going to really hurt the first couple of times that you're coming back. And I think that that's how creating content is too. You know, I know that you spend all day watching these David Dobrik figures and all these fashion bloggers that show up every single day on stories and they make it seem so effortless. And the truth is for them, it probably is effortless, you know, but that's only because most of them have been doing it every single day for 1 to 4 years straight. So getting really good at those things is going to take years. You know, if you want to get really good at something, you know, you're going to have to expect to spend a lot of time doing it. So don't compare yourself to them. Just take your first step because it's probably going to be your hardest. And, you know, this may sound like a pretty cliche point to make in this journey, point number two, but it's really not. And the reason it's not is because this is probably where at least 90% of people fail and quit. The part right before they even get started, the part where the voice inside of your head is saying things like, what are the chances you'll be successful? Or what if you fail? Or what are people going to think? But are saying, but wait, you know, you don't have time to do this because of reason X, Y, Z. You know, in these moments right before the first step, your mind is actually, you know, conditioned to move into survival mode and keep you from being uncomfortable. But when you're uncomfortable, that's where the most growth happens. So, you know, even if you don't take the first step and you start to rationalize it as smart or responsible or logical not to do something, it'll only end up in regret later. So before any of that happens, just take the second step of overcoming creative inertia by taking the first step. So let me tell you about point number three. We're overcoming creative inertia. You know, I'm not going to lie, I don't remember where I read this. So full disclosure, it's not my quote, but I loved it in the purpose of my argument here. And it said, in regards to pushing through creative inertia, what it says is, quote, quantifiable progress isn't the goal, building the habit is. And I loved this quote. You know, I think most of the time that we are thinking of creating, our minds are naturally just kind of jumping to the outcome, you know, especially early on. So before you even share that YouTube video or Instagram story, you're thinking of the views it's going to get. You are focusing on the DMs you'll get from the stories that you post. It's kind of the classic story of, you know, the writer who couldn't think of themselves as quote unquote the real deal unless someone cut them a paycheck for their work. And I remember even when I first launched this podcast, y'all, I was so disappointed in the first few episodes because the number of listens I had in no way, and there were a lot, but it was in no way was it able to meet my completely unreasonable expectations for myself, you know? So if you all remember kind of the hiatus I went on with this podcast, I think a lot of it was me struggling with this exact issue. I was, you know, measuring my quantifiable progress of a brand new podcast to a niche audience to the quantifiable progress of my wife, you know, at Danny Austin's followers and her Instagram story views. And I burned out before I even got started because I wasn't focused on the craft, but rather the outcome of the craft. And, you know, what I should have been doing at the time was trying to get better at what I spent my time doing and perfecting the value offering of my podcast. So sometimes when you create, you know, the stars of talent and opportunity are just going to align perfectly, and recognition and material reward, that's hard to say, material reward will follow, but they're always going to be the byproduct of being a creator and should not necessarily be the definition of it. So I want you to imagine for a second what you would do with your life if you were completely free from these chains of what other people thought, you know, what your own expectations are, and any quantifiable results attached to your creations. So imagine what you could create if you had, you know, the freedom to try and fail a couple times and keep improving and perfect something every single day. You know, so I think step three in overcoming this creative inertia is just focus on building a habit instead of any other numerical form of success. That does include not tracking followers or views or revenues or DMs. Just create daily as a habit, and I guarantee you the freedom will let all of the recognition and rewards come in a very natural, organic way in the future. So here we are. All right, so now we have pushed through timing. You've taken your first step. Your perspective is now clear and free just to form a habit of doing it. You've now conquered the hardest part of overcoming creative inertia by literally just breaking the inertia, right? So the next step is really step four here, is just to stay in motion. You know, back to my gym analogy one more time, even if you have run 6 marathons before and then you take a 3-month break, it's gonna still hurt really bad when you start training again for your next one. It's just gonna hurt. You're not conditioned for it in the same way that you were when you were running every single day. And I just can't argue or stress enough. I think that nothing is different with content creation either. You know, I've mentioned this on both Danny's stories and on mine, but Danny and I have a deal where when we travel together, we actually are posting on her stories and creating content for her and not for me. It's really just you know, if you're an experienced creator or have been doing it a while, you know, it's just too hard to manage both channels. Like, and, you know, typically we're working with a brand that has partnered with her and not me. And so it's just a very logical plan that keeps us from burning out by doubling down on content, keeps us having fun, and it just like prevents any conflicts between us. And so, but, you know, when we come back, the day we get back from travel is always the hardest day for me to jump back into my channels. You know, even just taking a couple days off is so hard for me to get back into it. You know, every single thought and insecurity I struggle with, you know, before, you know, it's just, it comes right back. You know, it's a fight that I have to fight all over again, you know? So don't beat yourself up if it does happen, but my best piece of advice is just to stay in motion. You know, you've broken the inertia, you're moving, your perspective's clear, stay in motion, keep creating every single day, even if it's something small, because I think that there's something about restarting that just restarts the whole challenge of overcoming the inertia again and again, and it can become a cycle that you just don't want to keep, you know, doing. So the last point is kind of funny. You know, it's a point that seems kind of misplaced. It could have been probably earlier in the points, but we're just going to end on it anyway. You know, so you're now out of the change of creative inertia, right? You're moving forward and posting consistently. You're forming habits and you're not letting those habits die. The last point I have for you as an influencer and as an influencer husband out there is just to approach your content with confidence. I think confidence is a lot like smiling. You know, it's not going to ever just come one day. You know, it's something that I've always believed you can kind of fake it until you make it. And even if you are insecure about the content you're putting out there or nervous about it, I would rather you film it 18 times and post the one that you feel good about just to kind of start building that muscle than post something that, you know, you don't feel confident about or you don't seem confident within it. So even if you don't feel it, just fake it. I say this because, you know, I think that you cannot expect people to love your content if you don't love it too. This doesn't mean that everything you put out there you should hype as Oscar worthy. It's just a small and simple note that, you know, in your demeanor, your attitude, the way you speak about yourself, the way that you carry yourself, even if only for a 15 second TikTok or a 30 second, you know, Instagram stories, you know, series. I just think you need to be confident in what you're putting out there. And I think that that's going to make people confident in it too. You know, I don't have any specific data to back this up, but I think I'm speaking from experience and I really do believe it works. So, you know, if you don't feel confident about your content yet, fake it. You'll feel it later. That's the show, folks. You know, it was a little quicker week, I think, but I think it was something I just really wanted to clear up from the past episode. You know, I do remain a big believer that the most valuable input an influencer husband can give into an influencer's career is to be both a content creator, a character, on top of all the obvious, you know, the operator behind the business and the accountant and all of those things. But, you know, just because our, you know, wives or influencers are the face doesn't mean that you don't have a voice and a contribution that isn't valuable as well. You know, no one is going to be able to ever see or hear those perspectives if you don't post, you know. And so I really want to coach influencer husbands and influencers into being consistent, to overcoming their insecurities, and just to post. Just get content out there and share. The rest, the confidence and, you know, the creativity and all those other things, they'll fall into place after you take action. So I'm going to be excited to open up my phone tomorrow and see a whole new sea of influencers and influencer husbands posting stories out there. Be sure to give me a tag so I can give you a heart back. And thanks for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Let's talk.